ไม่พ
อ You have your Bibles and would like to follow along. We're going to begin reading in a familiar reading lesson, Acts the 8th chapter. Acts chapter 8, beginning in the 26th verse. Acts chapter 8, beginning in the 26th verse. It says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to his chariot, to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That was reading Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. With some of the mistakes we may have made, I apologize for that, but the thought that is on our heart tonight is, what did Jesus do? Amen. Years ago, I remember as a young boy, I guess we were at Harmony at church at the time, there was a slogan that came out, what would Jesus do? And the thought came to me, what did Jesus do? He's done it all.
Amen.
Philip was led of the Spirit of God out into the wilderness, out into a desert place, and followed directly as the Lord was leading him. I don't know if he went immediately, but it looks like to me he was pretty submissive to the will of the Lord and what God wanted him to do. And I would encourage us tonight that have been saved by God's grace that we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord is working on the other end. He knows exactly what the other individual needs, and that Ethiopian eunuch needed to know about Jesus.
Amen.
He explained to him who that Jesus was. And I want to turn back, if I can, and clarify some things with the help of the Lord about who Jesus is and what that He did, because that's what all of these services are about. That's what everything that our, I'll just call it like it is, our religion is based upon Jesus. It's all based upon Him. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, gives us an example and explains to what Jesus was going to do, and I believe He did exactly what He said He was going to do. The Scripture says that He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The Apostle Peter said that God had chosen by determinate counsel to present His Son. I'm glad that it was already determined in heaven before the world was ever even spoken into existence. Jesus did exactly what He said He was going to do. 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? I don't know if you're going to want to believe this tonight, but that's what Philip asked that Ethiopian eunuch. He said, if you believe. You've got to believe with everything that you have inside of you and trust in Jesus. He is the one. He did what He said He was going to do. What did Jesus do? Listen, as the Scripture reveals unto us. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. We read in Luke there the story of how Jesus came into the world, how He was born of a virgin birth. But even before that, the Holy Spirit came to Mary and told her that she was going to conceive and bring forth a son, and he would be the Son of the Highest, and his name would be called Emmanuel, and God with us. And even the prophet Isaiah in the long ago prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name would be Emmanuel, and he'll be with us. And he prophesied of those things, and Jesus did leave the splendor of heaven. He left the perfect, most beautiful place that you can't even imagine, and he left that place to come and be born and found and fashioned as a man. He came into this world just like you and me, except his Father was the Holy Spirit, and he was brought into this world. That's what the Scripture is talking about. He walked among us. He looked like us. He talked like us. He was one of us. He was flesh and blood. He felt like us. He experienced the pains and suffering and the realistic things that you and I deal with. He was hungry. He got tired. He got weary. He did come into this world. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The Bible lets us know there in the very beginning, I believe it's in John, that he came unto his own and his own received him not. It also says in the third chapter of John that the light came into the world, but you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So people don't like, still, even today, like to come around Jesus. It makes them uneasy, makes them nervous, because you know what happens? When we start coming around Jesus, it shows us just how miserable that we really are. It shows us just how wretched and sinful that we really are, and how beautiful and how holy and precious that He is. He came into this world and He lived a perfect, sinless life. And you know what? That made people angry because He didn't do anything wrong. And they pointed at Him and tried to find fault in Him. But I'm glad to know they couldn't find one fault in my Savior. If they had, we'd all be doomed for hell. But not one time, and not one thing could they find against my Lord, because He lived a perfect life. He was acquainted with grief. He experienced suffering like we can't even imagine. You think you've grieved the loss of a loved one. You think you've known what grief or pain is. Jesus knew exactly what grief is and what pain is. More so than we can even understand or comprehend. The Creator of the universe spoke the world into existence and left the most splendorous, glorious throne on high and came and bled and died on the cross, and people spit in His face. You think He knows what grief is? I believe that He does. And and He still does tonight. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. Thought about His disciples. One of the Gospels says that all of them forsook Him. They all went away. Peter was supposed to be one of the number one men serving the Lord, and he denied Him three times and went and hid and said, "I don't know the man," and even cussed at Him and said, "I don't know who that He is," and he ran. You know the cock crew, because he denied the Lord. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, the wrath of God had to be poured out upon Jesus. God had to allow for there to be a sacrifice made, and it had to be His Son Jesus. He had to experience the wrath of God upon Him. He had to experience what it was like to have your and my sins and to carry them. I don't think it's the weight of that cross that drug Him down. I think it was my sins and your sins and all of this world's sins that pulled Him, the weight of this world upon His shoulders. He was so tired and weary, and yet He never gave up. He walked all the way up Calvary's Hill. He did it. But He was wounded for our transgressions. This is a personal thing. If I could really get honest with God, it should have been me that was nailed, that was hung to that whipping post, receiving those stripes, because I have sinned against God. It should have been me allowing Him to drive those nails into my hands and my feet, to place the crown of thorns in my head, because I am the sinner. Jesus is a perfect, sinless man, and He lived perfect in this world. He didn't deserve to die, but yet He did exactly what He said He was going to do. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. As they took the palms of their hands and beat Him repeatedly, as they took that reed and smote Him upon the head, much like it just reminds me of a wooden baseball bat is what I think of. They just hit Him upside the head and they literally beat Him to a pulp. He took every single one of those, and He even knew. And they said, "A mocking Him, prophesy. Who hit thee? Who's hitting you now?" And He could have named every one of them that was hitting Him, because He knew them all who they were, and yet He did it anyway. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. If you're ever going to get saved and ever going to get healed, it's going to be because of what Jesus did. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. As a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked, with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. He didn't deceive anybody. He's still not deceiving anybody. Nobody's going to be able to stand in judgment and say, I was confused, I was deceived, I didn't understand, I didn't know this, or I didn't know that. There will be no excuse when you stand in judgment, because Jesus is my only excuse. He's the only way that I can be redeemed from my sins. I deserve to die and go to hell. I didn't deserve to be able to be redeemed. But thank you, by the grace of God, I am what I am because of what He did for me, not because of anything other than Jesus Christ, that He did exactly what He had to do. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Hard for me to comprehend that. That a father would be pleased for his son to be bruised. But that's the love of God. He loves you that much. I can't imagine allowing one of my sweet little girls to be bruised, to be battered, to be spit upon, to be mocked, to be hung on a cross so that some criminal could go free. But Jesus did it for every one of us. God the Father loved us that much that He would send His only begotten Son. Please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I like to think about sometimes God, when He was on His throne and Jesus, the life, leaving His body, God was looking and saw His Son giving everything, laying His life down, and He saw the condition of His heart that He was giving everything back to God, knowing that He didn't even deserve to be hanging there. He was giving it all for you and for me. And you know that's what He's going to require for every person that has ever and will ever be saved, is that they give it all back to God. He wants to see the travail of your soul. I didn't have anything to offer the Lord, but He saw my troubled heart, my troubled soul, and I gave it all back to Him, begging Him that He would just have mercy upon me because I didn't have anything to offer. Jesus had it all to offer, and He laid it all down for us. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Payment had to be made. For the wages of sin is death. Payment had to be made, and it had to be made by Jesus Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I'm glad to be one of the many tonight. I don't deserve to be judged. My soul was unjust, but somebody came. As the old song says, mercy called, and justice answered. The Lord declared me just through and by the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, because I was doomed for hell. I was guilty. All of us were guilty of our sin, and Jesus paid our price. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Made intercession. Isaiah is almost talking in past tense because it was as good as done.
Amen.
Jesus was as good as that. He'd already come and died on the cross. had to do it. There was no other way. If he wouldn't come, then all those people before he ever came would be doomed for hell, and everybody after that, we'd all be doomed for hell. But he came and he did exactly what he had to do. Galatians, the 4th chapter. The 4th verse says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That's the only way we know that we're the children of God, is because the Spirit that dwells inside of us, that He has revealed unto us, of showing us who that we are. And He wants to do that for every single one. But He did come into this world. He did exactly what He said He was going to do. He left His throne on high. I'm talking the greatest throne that there ever was and ever will be. He left the perfect throne in heaven. If you think about kings and their thrones and how glorious that they are. In our country, the greatest and highest position of authority, I guess we look at, is the president, and how high and mighty he seems to be and how people look up to him. I want you to know that Jesus left a lot more glorious throne than that's in the White House tonight. He left the splendors of heaven, and he left it all so that he could take upon the form of a servant. Not just any servant, I'm talking a lowly servant. Isaiah said that he didn't have any form or comeliness, but that we should desire him. He was a normal man that walked among us. If he came in among us tonight, he would look like the rest of us. He was just a plain individual person, but he, was so much more. Because he is the I Am. That's what he told them there. And his servants, he would let them know that he is the Son of God. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen to it. He told them who that he was. And they rejected and rejected and rejected. That's what lost people do if they don't get saved. They reject the Son of God. They haven't fully surrendered to him. And we can't do it on our own, but oh, how He desires to help us. Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I think sometimes we think Jesus wanted to die on a cross, but He was a human just like you and I. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying for God to spare His life, He did not want to physically die on that cross. He was begging God the Father, "Lord," even though He knew before He even came into this world, before they even formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, He knew that He would have to come. But He said, "Father, if there's any other way, will You please make a way, Lord, if there's any other way?" Nevertheless, thank You, Lord, for nevertheless. Amen. "Not my will, but Thine be done."
Amen.
"Father, let Your will be done." You want to be saved? You want to live for the Lord? Then you just live for Jesus and live your life in the way that you want His will to be done. If you want to have peace with God, let His will be.
Amen.
Just let Him have His way. That's the hardest thing, it seems like, that we want to hold on to, is our own will, our own wants, our own desires, our own dreams. The greatest dreams I've ever had have been the Lord. Lord's dreams because He knows what's best for me. He's the one that has the path laid out. And the psalmist said, His words are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Even as we said that pledge today, He'll guide you in all truth and help you in ways that your life would be a more abundant life. I'm not talking about big pockets. I'm talking about a good life.
Amen.
A life of service for the Lord that are riches untold. Jesus understood that. We in this world, we're so worldly minded and so focused on the treasures that this world has to offer that we can't even see what the true riches are. And they are so wonderful. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will come a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess who that He is. You'll do it with sincerity of heart, I believe that. You won't be able to deny Him anymore. His honor and glory. Hebrews, the 7th chapter and the 21st verse. Because Jesus did what He said He was going to do, because He gave up His life's blood, God has given Him authority to be the highest of all priests. Given Him the reign that He is able to dictate and be ruler of all things, and He deserves to have that. And you know what? He's the priest that's been around for all time and will be around for all time. He's always been and will always be. I love it. Boy, there's some rich scriptures. If you want something rich, if you've been saved and you want to dig into something that'll let you enjoy God's Word, you start studying about Melchizedek and how that he was a priest that God had set forth, and he didn't have a father and mother, and Jesus was the one that was coming after him. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but this makes a little bit of mention of that in these scriptures. But I encourage you to study that out and a look to the Scriptures for those things. In the 21st verse of the 7th chapter says, For those priests were made without an oath, all the Old Testament priests that God had allowed to do the service of the Lord, that went in and offered the sacrifices that God had showed them that were a picture of Jesus that would be coming. But with an oath by Him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And these truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They lived and they died. They couldn't continue in that service because they were human beings. They had to have one that would succeed the other. But this man, because he continueth ever.
Amen.
Thank you, hath an unchangeable priesthood.
Amen.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you mean to tell me that Adam got saved the same way that I did on that Monday night? I believe that he did. You believe what you want to, but I believe that he sought the Lord and God, he trusted in Him, and God imputed His righteousness unto him when he trusted if he would ever get saved. That's how he got it. He got it the same way that you and I did, in trusting in Jesus. He may not have known the name of Jesus, but I believe he knew that there was a lamb coming. I do know that. Because Abel knew that's that lamb. That's why he offered that lamb. He knew that there was a lamb coming that God had ordained and prepared. And it would be a perfect spotless lamb. They all knew about that lamb. They may not have known why. But oh, they knew there was a lamb coming, and I'm glad he came. Because I know that that lamb came. I'm glad we're not back in the Old Testament bringing forth all those sacrifices, because I'd make such a mess of those things. Even we make a mess of things now. But the lamb did come, and he did do what he said he was going to do.
Amen.
The unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able. God is still on his throne, and he is still able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. By who? By him. By Jesus Christ. It's still the only way of salvation. There is no other way. You know, there may just make that say that he's just an elementary preacher, that all he preaches about is Jesus. That's okay, because that's all I know. That's all I know. I was lost, and now I'm found. I met the man named Christ Jesus, and he made me free. And that's all I know, is that I've been saved by God's grace. He's the one that did that for me, and I was saved to the uttermost, and still am. It says, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God the Father, come to the portals of glory by Jesus, by Him. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Why is He still sitting on that throne? Because He still wants to make intercession for you and me. He's still doing His job. He's still doing what He had set out to do. And that's what He wants to do, is to make intercession for you and for me. For those that are lost. For those that are out in sin. He's sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He is speaking to God on our behalf. For such an high priest became us. Who is holy? Currently, he's still holy. He'll always be holy. Harmless. Undefiled. Nothing wrong with him. Never was and never will be. They're still trying to bring up false accusations against him. They can't nail anything on him. They'll never get him for anything he's done wrong. Separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He's not just in the heavens, he's higher than the heavens. He's the most high of all things, and boy, he deserves to be exalted as such. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins? You know, if Jesus was a sinner, he'd have had to go and offer up sacrifice first and then go offer up the great sacrifice that all it took. It just took one time for him to offer the sacrifice that God would accept. First for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. What did Jesus do? He did it all. He laid it all on the line. You ever played any sports? You ever done anything worth doing? If you're really going to put your heart into something, you lay it all on the line. I mean, you give it all you got. The one who gave it everything, I mean, laid it all down. He's the one that had the most to lose. He had more skin in the game than anybody did. He had the most to lose, and he laid it all down. I'm so thankful that he did it all just for someone like me. What did he do? We know he was born into this world, lived a perfect, sinless life, laid on that cross of Calvary, laid down his life. He said, I'll lay down my life, and you know what I'll do? I'll take it up again.
Amen.
He laid it down. He took it up again. He did exactly what he said he was going to do, and then he ascended back on high. And one of these days, he's going to destroy this world, and we're going to look back and say, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He's not failed in one of His promises yet. He won't do it. He won't fail. Ever. He can't. God, it's impossible. He will not fail. He has promised that one of these days He will destroy this world. He has given us warnings all throughout the Scriptures. Tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and being merry. They were going about their own business, their own lives, like nothing was going on, like everything was just fine. That's the world we're in today. We're living in the middle of just the same type of day that Noah was living in. And he preached for over 100 years warning them that it's going to rain. And if we have to preach for 100 more years that it's going to rain, it's going to rain one of these days, and it's not going to be liquid watery drops. It's going to be a fire rain. It's going to be hellfire and brimstone that God will rain down upon this place. 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that the day of the Lord will come as a promise that is from God, as a thief in the night. He will come one of these days, and even the elements, the smallest things that we can't even see, even the elements will burn up with fervent heat. And it'll all be destroyed in the works that are there. The only thing that's going to be left is our souls, and they're going to live on in either heaven or hell. I'm glad that He did it all for me, and I trusted in what He did, that that's enough to save me. If Jesus coming and died for my sins won't get me to heaven, then I will not make it. Because that's all I'm hoping and trusting in. And what He did, that He saved my soul from sin. He set me straight and He put me on a path that He desires for me to live in. And I know that I'm His and I'm headed for heaven one day after a while. Because of what He did. I didn't do anything. In salvation, God lets us know we're lost and separated from Him. He does that. He's the one that initiates the conversation and reproves us of our sin and lets us know, convinces us that we're a sinner. That's that feeling that comes on the inside, the condemnation that sits up in our heart. That's God letting us know that we're a sinner. He does that. I'm not out here pointing fingers and saying, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're headed for hell. I don't know anybody's heart except my own, but I know what He did for me. He let me know I was a sinner, and then He drew me. He pulled my heart, and He didn't make me seek Him at all. How that strong power set up in my heart. I wanted to seek Him. That's what God will do. He'll put a want in your heart. He'll put a desire in your heart to want Him. But more than anything, if you resist that and push that away, that's your own doing. But God is a drawer, and He draws people to Him. He does that when people lift up His Son Jesus. Even though they were talking about being lifted up on the cross, He still does that through by His blessings when we lift up His Son and magnify Him through His Holy Spirit. God the Father will draw all the sinners. He did that for me. You know what else He did? He gave me the prayer for me. I don't like saying people have a card that says, you read this, if you follow this, and you really made something out of it. You really made it. And you'll be okay. You know who pulled out the card for me? Jesus Christ. And He began to speak to my heart. He helped me to know what things I had to let go of. He helped me to pray because I didn't know how to pray. Even when I fell down tonight, I still don't know how to pray. But the Bible says the Spirit itself will help us. He knows our infirmities. He knows we're just human, but He desires to help us to pray. You know what He also did? He helped me repent.
We can't repent on our own. God has to help us to repent to His satisfaction. It's not in our capabilities on our own. It's only grace that God gives us the ability to repent to His satisfaction when that faith comes in. That we have believed and trusted in the Lord with all our heart. He did that too. So what did I do? I just called on Him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call and you believe and you trust, He'll do it all for you. He did it all for me. If He didn't, I won't let you. But He did every bit of it. He gave His Son to die so that we could be free. He gives us the gospel. He's the one that does that. He gives us the ability to be saved. And He does the same. What does He ask us to do?
Just
come just as you are. And oh, when we come to the Lord, think about Jesus there walking by, and Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree because he wanted to see Jesus for who He was. He really wanted to get honest with God and see who He was. You know, all Jesus said was, come on back. Just come back. For today, I was invited to your house. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you said that to me. Just come. I want to abide in your house. No, I just can't even try my best to trust in Him. And oh, thank you, Lord, for coming into my house and for staying there. He'll be there for all eternity. Let's have a song. Here tonight, you're lost. We can't make you be saved. We can't persuade you to be saved. But the Lord will do all He can to be you. Let's find the Lord.
155.
Yeah.
team sing. While we sing this song for somebody that wants to come and pray, so everybody else has to pray with you, but it's your prayer that's going to happen. We pray through at least one more verse of the song. We also want to say this, that it's already been requested that we open the doors of the church tomorrow by somebody that's not here. But if there's somebody here that needs to join the church tonight, tomorrow may never come. So take advantage of every opportunity we have for this service. And tonight, if there's someone that needs to feel the need to join the church, let me know. If there's somebody who just needs to come and pray, just come and pray. I want you to feel free to do that. The message went out, and just think about what Jesus did for you. Prior chapters, that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, there's a statement that Isaiah made that said that his vision was marred more than any man. Jesus took a beating like no man had ever taken on the face of this earth. His body was completely marred, I believe, beyond recognition. And he did that for me. He did that for me. So, if Jesus did that for you, don't you know why he did it? So he could take that burden of sin and put that peace on you. Don't let him die in vain for you. So many people have. I'm glad that I can stand and I can say that he didn't die in vain for you. Because I repented and I trusted in his own heart. So if you're here tonight and you're broken, oh, that's a good thing. Just need to be broken to think about Jesus being broken for you so that he can bind up your broken heart and put a brand new one in there. That's what he's supposed to do. Take out that stony heart and put a brand new heart in there. So as we continue to sing, if you're here, you just find whatever God has you to do for this service.
201. 201.
Thank you.
where you're at, me too. Let's pray without fear. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you again for this message and the message bearer. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, that the gospel is going out one more time. Dear Lord, we just ask you to delay your coming just a little bit longer. We pray, Lord, that your message would just lodge in the hearts of the hearers, and that you would break the stony heart. And that, dear God, the ones that are lost here tonight will see their need of salvation more than anything in this life. As Brother Luke said, Jesus laid it all out on the line, and I know that that's what they'll have to do because we had to do the same thing. We got to the end of our prayer. We didn't know what else to do. And we just gave it to you and surrendered all. We thank you again for that. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for all that have taken us apart, all of our brothers and sisters, all of our family members that are here and have been here throughout the day, Lord. We want to thank you for your blessings and ask, Lord, to comfort the hearts of those that are here today. Those who have family members that are terminal, and those that just have a few hours left, maybe so, that just have a few days left. Oh, Lord, you might even come back more tomorrow. If you do, we're ready to go. But we know that there is at least one in the midst that says it's not. I pray that your God, before this day comes to an end, that she'll be able to pray through. And know that you will take our Lord glorious grace. Thank you and bless the remainder of this service. Lord, guide us and direct us. We give you thanks and praise now forever. We thank you again for all blessings, most of all, thank you for salvation. Thank you for our call to the ministry. Thank God, let me be the upper shepherd of this spring flock that's here in the Faith Church. Just ask your Lord to increase our love and their love for us, our love for you, and that we can come together in unity and one accord and pray down the power like it's never been seen. And dear God, we just want to thank you and give you all the glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. We want to thank the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you, God, for the hand on things there, God, over the even of the things in a negative way. You're always the one here, Father. You are all the one in a time of need. It's true that there is a time of need. Lead us and guide us and direct us according to your will. And thank you again for the message of mission prayer. We ask that your Father bless every home and family that's represented, those that can't be here, those that are not here, those that are traveling to get here. We just pray that you watch over and care for them. And we'll give you the thanks and praise for the river. In Jesus' name.
Father, let them be watered, dear God, as you bring forth the increase of your child, Lord. Father, this holy children might come forward, Lord, and share what you go through. Lord, just please stay with us, dear God, and just continue to move against the honor of our purpose, Lord, and help us, Lord, to serve you in the way you do for me, Lord. We stay with you, Lord, and we should be your friends.
Amen. Does anybody else have a lead on your heart? Sister Madeline asked if we could have a handshake tonight. So I told her we just want to give an opportunity for people to come and seek the Lord. You still have an opportunity. Anytime during this service, God knocks on your heart, just feel free. Is there anything before we come around and shake hands with each other? We'll never be like this. Somebody will be added or somebody will take it away. We'll never be in a assembly like this. Again here, and so we're thankful for that. We pray that there will be a lot more answers. Anything on your heart? Alright, I want to honor this request that Sister Madeline said she wanted to. Well, actually, what she said today, if I come around and shake my hand, she wants everybody to come around and shake her hand. So we pray for her. Alright. Let us pray.
203.
Amazing grace. It's not in here. He did it all. All right, let's do that one.
Page 131.
Anybody have anything on your phone?
No.
Another word, testimony?
Yes.
been good to be here tonight. And enjoyed the service. So glad that some of my family are here tonight. I appreciate you coming.
God bless you, Sister Irene. Glad they came to you.